I haven't had bourbon in about a week.
Are you feeling okay?
Well, I've been sick.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Benson. That's Paul Schultz. And nothing you're about to hear is true.
You're feeling it tonight.
Well, it's just the opposite. I wasn't feeling it, so I decided to stand up. Because, you know.
Right.
And now you can see me, and I'm like, I am standing over you.
I feel so small.
No, it's all good, man. It's just like, you can tell, like, if you close your eyes and listen to somebody, mm-hmm. you could tell whether they're sitting down or standing up.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm standing up.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm sitting down.
Right.
Now I'm standing up. Now I'm sitting down. I'm sure you could tell. Well, you could tell because you could see me on video.
I can close my eyes. Okay. I'll close my eyes and you talk and I'll let you know whether you're standing or sitting.
Okay. Am I standing up or sitting down?
You're standing up.
Okay. How about now?
You're sitting down.
Okay. How about now?
Better like this. Still sitting down.
Okay. How about now?
Now you're standing.
See? You got it. I bet you would be good at rock, paper, scissors.
Why rock paper?
You're like,
I was thinking maybe like those cards that had like wiggly lines and stuff on them. I don't know about rock, paper, scissors.
Like a Rorschach test?
I failed those.
No, I think with rock, paper, scissors, there is a definite strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest has figured it out. So every time the kids have to do a figure out who has to do something, and they decide to use rock, paper, scissors.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest is winning because she's got it figured out. And I said, you know, I looked that up on the internet one time because anything that anybody ever does, you can hack, right? And so you can look on the internet and look up, you know, how to win at rock, paper, scissors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a hack for it. And it talks about, of course, nothing's 100%, but it says if you play the odds, like you always start with scissors because the other person, it's the other way around. Most people will start with scissors. Like 68% of the time,
mm-hmm.
people start with scissors. And so always start with rock.
That's what because I start with rock typically.
People almost never start with paper.
Right.
Okay. They will either, you know, it goes. Most people start with scissors, like 68% will start with scissors, and then, you know, 30% will start with rock, and then like 2% will start with, or whatever percent is left,
mm-hmm.
will start with paper. People almost never start with paper. So always start with rock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the other person does rock, then you come back with, so the other person does rock, you do rock, so it's a tie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do paper.
Right.
The next time.
Right.
So you got to come back with scissors. Right?
Right.
Cuz their brain somehow thinks you're going to do rock again.
Mhm.
Right. So anyway, that's what I looked that up online and that's what I found. Well, my daughter, I'm watching her win and she's not following the strategy. And I said, "How are you winning? I don't understand." She goes, "Well, I looked it up on YouTube." And they said girls almost always start with rock. So I always start with paper. I was like, are you kidding me? You mean it makes a difference if it's a girl or a boy?
That's crazy.
Like, so she's got it down, man. I'm going to enter her in rock, paper, scissors tournaments.
You know, speaking of rock, paper, scissors, years ago, Superfan James and I used to work at this hospital here in La Porte. We were night janitors. And The building was divided up into sections, and each we rotate weekly these sections. Well, they would draw the blood, you know, and do all the blood, you know, separate the blood and all that. We used to call that like the blood room. And once a month, the hospital had what they secretly referred to as Chlamydia Day. That's the day that all the doctors would schedule people who they thought had chlamydia to come in to get their blood tested. So they could keep it contained. So, like, when it came time for committee day, there would be me and Superfan James playing rock, paper, scissors to see who would have to go in and clean the blood room during chlamydia day. So, it was funny. Our boss hated us.
I'm trying to figure that one out. What is it the doctors are trying to contain? I mean, what is it? Are they afraid, like, if they are in the waiting room together, they might hook up?
No.
Is that what they're afraid of?
Well, I think they're just taking into consideration controlled circumstances for dealing with, you know, like that day, that's the only day that the contamination bins will be filled with Petri dishes full of chlamydia. So I think that's what it boils down to.
I'm sorry. I call shenanigans.
No, that's what
I just don't. I call bullshit.
That's what we were told, man.
So you call the doctor up and you're like, it burns when I pee. And he's like, oh, Tuesday. You're a Tuesday.
That's
like, but it's really burning. Can't you do anything for me? He's like, yeah, Tuesday. Like, well, why can't I come in today? He's like,
Tuesday.
Because you can come in next Tuesday. That's why.
Because Tuesday is tuberculosis, or today's tuberculosis day. You can't come in on tuberculosis day.
Tomorrow's smallpox day.
That was the other thing. We got vaccinated for tuberculosis when we started working there. And I'm like, the lady was like sticking me. I'm like, what's this for? She goes, well, this is for tuberculosis. I'm like, the fuck is Doc Holliday here? Wow. Who has tuberculosis anymore?
You got anything for plague?
I got the vapors. You got anything for that? Consumption? Wait, that is consumption.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, anyway, sort of a Halloween hangover. I mean, we played the Halloween episode for 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I hope everybody got a chance to check it out. If not, it's still up there, man.
That's
go
right.
Check it out. It's a good one. We're proud of it. Paul worked his ass off.
Yeah. It turned out really well. I mean, we got a lot
I barely did anything.
Oh, myself, you showed up. That's all I asked.
I did.
You show up.
But now that Halloween's over, it's basically Christmas season, right?
Yes.
You know what it is?
What is it?
It's Thanksgiving will be here before you know it season, for one thing. Like, you just get over Halloween, like, barely get the Halloween decorations put away. Then you're like, ah, crap, we got to figure out where we're going for Thanksgiving. You order the turkey, you know, if you're having it here. So we always got to order our turkey. We can't just go to the store and buy one because, you know, GMO, free range.
Yeah.
Never been frozen. Virgin, blessed by the Pope. You know, we can't just get a regular turkey.
Yeah,
we gotta get
that turkey that you ate your whole life. You can't get that turkey no more.
Right,
you gotta get the fancy turkey.
Well, you know what's interesting? The turkey I ate my whole life is probably the turkey that we get, except we get the fresh version, the one that hasn't been frozen.
Mm-hmm.
But considering all the technology that's gone into growing turkeys these days,
mm-hmm.
The turkey that we get, which is the, you know, freewheeling
freewheeling turkey, is like, hey, whatever, hey, it's like, hey, buddy, there's the turkey.
only driven once a week to church by a little old lady turkey is probably a similar turkey to what we ate when we were growing up. And the turkeys that you get, you know, the Franken turkeys,
yes,
in the grocer's freezer aisle, those are the, you know, things that we didn't eat when we were growing up.
Right, right. Yeah, you're right. I agree.
Those are the $6 million man turkeys.
I want the best turkey science can buy. No, actually, I can't eat turkey anyway, so. And ham is ham. I don't care. That ham could be free-ranged or chained to a wall. It's still a pig.
Ham is good.
It's the best.
But I was thinking we should call this like tweener season or something like that. Because, you know, first of all, other countries don't have Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I did get my daughter on that that one joke. Do you think they? I said, do you think they have the 4th of July in England? She's like, no. Like, really? What, do they just go from the 3rd to the 5th?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you got me.
Dad jokes. Okay. They're the best.
Dad jokes. That's right.
Well, it was.
Dad jokes. Check it and see. All
right. It was funny back in the 90s when Michael from Sweden and some of his friends came over. They came over around the time of Thanksgiving, and of course they'd heard about it, but they'd never had one, you know. And yeah. Michael was like, "So what do we?" So I said, "All right, you can come over to our house. We'll have a big. We'll show you what a Thanksgiving is." And he's like, yeah. "So what do we do? Do we like, you know, come over, eat a lot of food, and then go out drinking?" I'm like,
"And then go out drinking."
I'm like, and he, I said, we eat a lot and then we fall asleep. And sure enough, he did. I look over, he's like, passed out in the easy chair. And it's like, yep, that's Thanksgiving.
Drinking. He's like, no, you're thinking of Cinco de Mayo.
Oh,
okay. You know, man, we try to find a couple of Indians and we take all their stuff and give them smallpox.
That's
speaking
right.
of tuberculosis, and, we give them that
and chlamydia.
And chlamydia, they give us syphilis, we give them smallpox, and they give us gold and syphilis.
Change the channel, Marge.
So anyway, I don't know what season this is. It'll be Thanksgiving before you know it. I don't know. I get why people get frustrated with the early beginning of the celebration of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But I was at the dollar store the other day to get a few things. Did you know everything in there is a dollar? You know that?
Yeah, I've been into one or two.
It's Dollar Tree, though. It's Dollar Tree where everything's a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
You get a Family Dollar, it's not necessarily a dollar.
Yeah. There's right? like General Dollar, about a dollar, yeah. A little more than a dollar. All these stores have these kind of names. But, yeah, just the Dollar Tree is the dollar store.
Dollar Tree, but you got to be careful because there are a lot of good bargains in there, but there are some things in there that are not worth a dollar.
Right. Yep.
So you got to watch out.
Mm-hmm.
I went in there the other day to get Halloween candy, and they got candy in there for a dollar, but I'm looking at it going, I think I can get this at Walgreens for 89 cents. So
yeah.
So I was careful, but they already had Christmas out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before Halloween.
Well, I went. I went yesterday, yesterday was Halloween. We had a wardrobe malfunction, so I went Ooh. I went into the dollar store to get a new mask, and like, there was like this little rinky-dink end cap full of like you know, leftover Halloween stuff, and then everything was just green and red as far as you could see, and I'm like, how did this happen? And In the time, I was in here yesterday. This wasn't here.
Yeah.
It's like, let's go see how a dog feels.
24 hours. I don't get why people are so upset over it, though. I don't understand. Who cares? I think you're one. Maybe I should ask you, because I think you're one of the people that gets upset about it. Who cares how early they start Christmas? I don't care.
I just... I'm not a fan. Halloween is my jam. Halloween is my jam, and I love Thanksgiving, but Christmas and me go way back. So the fact that it starts in August just drives me insane. Which is why I think people say, you know, people are always talking about how the years are getting shorter. The years aren't getting shorter. We're starting Christmas stuff sooner and sooner. So it just rapidly speeds up to Christmas. So, like, Christmas starts in August now.
I heard they're going to start Christmas 2018 on Thanksgiving this year. So they're going to have Black Friday, but it's going to be for next year's Christmas.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just hate that, you know, I mean, Thanksgiving is like, to me, more than like 4th of July, it's like our holiday. It's like our one gig. And it's glossed over so quickly. I mean, what else do we have? Thanksgiving, 4th of July, Veterans Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, oh, that's right. St.
Patrick's. Cinco de Mayo. What else?
There was a Day de los Muertos, which...
Daylight Savings Time.
Daylight Savings Time. Daylight Savings Time.
Nothing would make me happier than to see you and Superfan James get into a knockdown, drag-out fight over Daylight Savings Time.
Yeah, you caught that, huh? I let that one go.
Daylight Savings Time is proof that stupid ideas have staying power.
Yes.
Like when people will go, here's an idea, and somebody else will go, ah, that's dumb. It's like, dude, you have no idea the power of a stupid idea in the right hands.
Yeah.
Look at Daylight Savings Time. Look at metric system. Mm-hmm. Wait, no, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's why it hasn't taken yet over here.
Right. Anyway, happy, Thanksgiving season. Can we put up our Thanksgiving decorations now?
Yes,
and start listening to Thanksgiving music.
Well,
is it too early for that?
No, man, you can do that in September.
Do my Thanksgiving shopping.
That's right. Well, no, because you gotta get that bird fresh, man. You can't let it sit around.
True. Have you started on the Thanksgiving show yet?
Yes, I started in February.
I bought my shoes with buckles on them.
I got that.
My hat with a buckle on
it. I got that big, weird white collar thing that they wore.
Okay.
You know.
That's good.
Yeah.
I found a couple of Indians to enslave. thank you, Indians.
That's right.
What a top.
The other thing I wanted to complain about is...
Ladies and gentlemen, this is two old men complaining. The two old men complaining show.
Old man yells at cloud.
That's right.
Ah, frickin' brush, he's a clinker. So there was this attack in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently somebody drove on the bike path and ran over a bunch of bikers.
Mm-hmm.
Killed some people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the interesting part to me. The interesting part is, as I was doing show prep, I noticed that there was one of those courtroom sketches. Because apparently, sometimes they still don't let you bring a camera into the courtroom.
Right. Right. Right.
So they do the courtroom sketches. And I swear to God, I've always wondered about this since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But even more so recently, why do courtroom sketches look like courtroom sketches? It looks like a damn, like, it looks like a Gary Larson Far Side cartoon, right? It doesn't look realistic. They don't do, like, I've seen realistic, you can do realism.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen other people do realistic, like photorealism, not like Chuck Close photorealistic, but,
mm-hmm,
real enough that you get an idea of what's going on. No, these courtroom artists are drawing some sort of M.C. Escher thing with like blobs in the background, mm-hmm, that are supposed to be people, and the dude's looks like a cartoon.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
I think, honestly, there's probably like courses that you take. You know, it's like, remember when you were a kid and you'd see like the, can you draw the turtle or the pirate?
Draw a circle and then a triangle and then erase this part of the circle.
Can you draw the defendant pointing? It's like, you may be a courtroom artist. You know what would be funny with those is if somebody would do like a, have you ever seen like the classic art memes where they'll take like a piece of classic art and they'll put like a funny word caption around, the images to, and it totally changes the whole dynamic of the story. They should do that. Somebody should do. I see it's lost on you. Just go
do that.
Do that with courtroom sketches. I'm just gonna Google courtroom.
I haven't seen
sketches.
The classic art ones. Put a couple of the classic art memes up on the over there on the Facebook group.
Okay.
And then I'll look for some good courtroom sketches and put those up there.
You'll see what I'm talking about. Yeah, they're hilarious.
Anyway, I just that struck me as a little bit odd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why can't you bring a camera?
You know what it is?
No. What is it?
I'm betting it's one of those power of the stupid idea thing.
Yes. Somebody said, no cameras in the courtroom. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. All right.
Well, it was probably before cameras were invented. And then a guy's like, can I bring a camera? And he's like, we got to stand there pointing for 45 minutes while you take that picture. So no cameras are allowed in the courtroom. And it stuck.
Yeah, that's a good point. But for like the O.J. Simpson trial, they had TV cameras in there.
Yeah.
Okay. There is no place that the power of the stupid idea has more power than in our justice system. And I now have firsthand knowledge. So, you know, we are the subjects of a lawsuit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the advice of my attorney, I can't say, I can't give any details.
Right.
But we did go to the depositions, which is the first official thing that we've done,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Our lawyer has sent letters and like he's submitted things and whatever, but you know, he's handled all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the depositions were the first thing we went and did. And sure enough, there's a court reporter in there with his stenographer machine, mm-hmm. right? And I wanted so bad to tell him that he's missing a huge opportunity based on the Chappelle Show idea of the home stenographer, right? Could you? Well, you said to me that you think my butt looks big in these pants. Honey, that is not what I said. What I said was you seem to be more comfortable in those other pants because you feel like they fit better. You know what? Home stenographer, would you please read back what I said? And this guy, okay, so he's sitting there at the end of the table, all right? He's got a little microphone that he puts out mm-hmm. on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he's sitting there with his little machine just kind of like,
yeah,
you know, typing away, right? And I go, and like during one of the breaks, I walk around there and I'm looking at it, and it's got like 15 lever looking things.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitate to call them keys because when we say keys, we think of a keyboard with little buttons, but they were like little levers,
mm-hmm.
right? But on like three different levels. And they didn't have anything written on them. They're all blank,
mm-hmm.
right? But he does have a little screen. So apparently we've been able to use technology to give the home stenographer or to give the court reporter a little screen so he doesn't have the little, you know, tape, the little piece yeah. of paper coming out yeah. the back, right? He's got a little screen so that when the lawyers would say, could you read back that question? He would go and he would click on his little screen or whatever, and he'd read back what they had said, right? And mm-hmm. I know I could have looked it up on the internet and figured it out, but I never thought to. But I was like, how does this thing work? I said, what is this little machine you have? Is it like one of the things I had heard when I was growing up? It's probably my dad speculating. When my dad speculates, it sounds exactly like he knows the answer.
Yeah, right? he's good at that.
Yeah, yeah, he'll say, like one time he had me convinced that there was a law that every so many miles on a holiday like Christmas, a gas station had to be open. And the law said, you know, like every 100 miles there had to be a gas station open, and they had to figure out which gas station it would be. And I'm like,
where's gas station zero?
How do they administer that? I'm just thinking, does the government have somebody that drives around and they're like, this year you're, you know, sorry, but you have to be open because the other one, they were open last year, and you know, and I'm like, finally after pushing him enough, he's like, Well, I don't know if there's a law. I'm just saying there probably is. But his whole thing on the stenographer machine was there was a key for each word. And like he was just hitting the word keys. And my whole question was always like, so what are there like 10,000 keys on this thing? Because there's like a lot of words, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like, so I asked the guy, I was like, what is each key? What is it? He goes, well, they're letters, but he said, not all the letters. And so, you know, he says like different things represent other things. He's like, think of it like shorthand.
Like, yeah, you know, I was going to say.
He didn't say this, but it brought up a vision in my head of the secretary sitting on the edge of the desk with her legs crossed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in a short skirt, you know, mm-hmm. dictating a letter.
Licking, you know? Sticking the tip of the pencil on her tongue all sexily. Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, what would you like it to say? And he's saying things like, oh, et cetera, blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to chase you around the desk.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Mr. Johnson. Anyway, so he said, it's kind of like that. He's like, I don't need all the letters. Mm-hmm. I know what certain things mean. And the other thing I thought of but didn't say was, I'll bet you're really good at Twitter. Like,
yeah.
And texting.
Yeah. You know?
But he's been doing it for like 30 years, he said. And he's like, you know, at this point, he knows exactly what everything's supposed to mean. But it caused me to think, why are we doing this? It's just like the not letting cameras in the courtroom and drawing these stupid Gary Larson Far Side sketches, right?
Yeah, right.
We have this thing called a recorder that can record everything everybody says. We don't need somebody sitting there typing everything mm-hmm. everybody says.
I mean, you could say a word and it would type it. You know,
you could do that too. I mean, you could do both. Like if somebody goes, well, I need it to be written, I need it to be typed out. You go, well, yeah, we got that. We could do that. Or you don't really need it to be typed out like right now. Yeah. Because right. If you go, oh, could you read back that last question? It's like, well, how about I rewind the tape? And I'm not even rewinding. And there is no tape.
Yeah.
All I got to do is go, okay, that was about 3 minutes ago. Play it right here.
Drag the
play
mouse.
It for the whole court.
Yep.
I don't have to read anything, right? I didn't even know those people can't even talk right.
I'm thinking.
So why do we got this guy typing on the machine when he could just be recording? And I'm like, it's probably the power of a stupid idea.
Yeah. I imagine courtroom stenographers are. Courtroom stenographers are the equivalent of like the Burger King cashier, you know, or the person at,
with a better union.
Yeah, a much better union, or the person at Kroger who ironically has to help you at the self-checkout line. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I bet it is some sort of a job security union thing, though.
Yeah.
They took our job.
They probably got, like, super good health insurance and everything.
And I'm sure if you pressed him on it, he'd be like, well, I'm glad I'm almost done. I'm glad I'm retiring soon.
Yeah, and then he gets shot because, you know, I only got 2 more days, and he gets yeah. shot.
That's right. I got 2 more days, and I'm out. I'm going back to the world.
he's typing away. I'm too old for this shit. But would you read back that last statement? I'm too old for this shit. Oh, damn it.
Come on, man. Just one more deposition. This will be it. We're just going to come out of retirement for one last deposition.
That's right.
And then we'll be sitting on the beach.
Living off the fat of the land. It's your dad on the show.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I? happens too. I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk. Sent lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha! I'm the innocent bystander. Somehow I got stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I'm down on my luck. Yes, I'm down on my luck. Well, I'm down on my luck. Oh, send lawyers, guns, and money. Guns and money. Send lawyers, guns and money. Hey! Send lawyers, guns and money.
You know, I got one of those bottle openers on the side, that I mounted on the side of my wall, you know, and it's got a big magnet under it. I like to see just how many caps can, like, dangle connected magnetically before they finally all fall. It's like a it's like a kid's game for adults. Like, don't break the ice for adults.
Hang on a second. I can't figure out who makes this.
What is it?
Particular beer. It's called Diesel Punk.
Oh, yeah.
Double IPA.
Yeah.
I can't figure out who makes it.
I'm not sure, but I much prefer that one over the... They have like a honey wheat or something you can get.
Oh, Diesel Punk is the name of the brewery. I thought that was the name of the beer.
Oh, no. That's good stuff.
Cheers.
More power to you.
So I was welcome back to the show. I was telling my dad about the drug that I've been working on, and it was finally approved by the FDA, so they finally announced the brand name, and I could tell people about it and everything. And it's called Verzenio. And he's like, "What?" I was like, "My dad has this thing where if you say a word that he's never heard before, which is, you know, most of them, then he will not know how to pronounce it. I don't care how many times you say it to him. He has decided that he's going to not know how to pronounce it." I'm like, Verzenio. And he's like, Verzenio. I was like,
Just think Arsenio, but...
Arsenio, but with a ver. Instead of, and then I was like... One of its competitors is called Kiss Cali. He's like, Kiss? I said, it's Kiss, like the word kiss, and then Cali, like California. He's like, Kizana, Kazoo, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I never said the blue blah anywhere in what I said. I just don't. It's like once you've decided, it's like some women and math, right? Once they've decided that they're going to be bad at math, they're just going to be bad at math. And I could go, the square root of 16 is 4. And they're going to go, I'm not good at math. And I'm like, no, I'm just saying the square root of 16 is 4. Yeah, but no, I'm not good at math. I go, all I'm saying is, if anybody asks you, what's the square root of 16? Feel free to say four. No, I can't. No, I'm not. Math. I'm not good at math. I'm like, I'm not asking you to be good at math. I'm asking you to repeat something in the English language that I just, it's like Verzenio. I mean, I don't understand it.
You're killing me. Because I know your dad, and I I can totally see that.
I wouldn't be so frustrated if he weren't so goddamn smart.
Right?
He's a smart man.
Yes, he is.
He's super smart, super clever, has more common sense than anybody I know, but then he does this kind of stuff. And I'm like, what? Like, all right. Bless his heart. I guess he wouldn't be my dad if he didn't do those
That's
things.
Correct. So what does this drug do? What's the what's its claim to fame?
It's for breast cancer right now. Is what it's been approved for. It's for women who've tried everything else and you know, they've run out of options basically. And it gives them on average 7 to 14 more months of life at a good quality of life.
Right.
Like
right.
They could go home and, you know, if it without this, and there are two competitors. So I don't want to make it sound like this is their only option. There are two others, out there. But basically they have different side effects and everything. So it's kind of like you figure out, you know,
right.
What are the trade-offs and what kind of 7 to 14 months am I going to get? And you make a decision.
Wait,
one of these three.
I'm no good at math.
Oh, well, you know. But think of it like this. Think of it like the moon changing, you know, going from being full back to being full again, 7 to 14 times.
Now, I'm sorry. I don't get math. Sorry.
There's math again. All right. Think of it this way. It's Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've run out of options.
Okay.
But with this drug, you could make it to Halloween or maybe another Christmas plus a Valentine's Day. Mm. I'm glad we can joke about cancer.
I thought we were joking about Christmas.
Remember the day when we couldn't joke about cancer? All right. But anyway, at first I was kind of like, really? Really? I'm working on one of these drugs that's like insanely expensive and all it does is delay the inevitable.
Yeah.
Do I really want to do that? But then I found out it's not just that it prolongs life, but it's a decent quality of life because
right.
it causes the tumor to stop growing. So, you know, for that long. And then So you can go home and you can be with your family and
right.
stuff. And you're still going to die. But imagine that marketing campaign. They should have me do their marketing campaign. Look, you're going to die. Like, we're all going to die. We're all going to die someday. I'm going to die. He's going to die. We're all going to die someday. You probably a lot sooner than us. But here's a drug that can make it a little bit longer. Not a lot longer. A little bit. And it's not bad. Not a bad life. What do you think?
just don't get your dad to do the commercial.
You're like, shut up and take my money. Not like you're paying for it anyway. I mean, you'll be dead. Who cares?
That's like the Simpsons joke where Homer thinks he's dying, so he tells Flanders he's gonna get some big, thick, juicy steaks. Like, oh, that'll be great. And Homer walks away. It's like, haha, joke's on him. I'll be dead by then. It's like,
now here's something we hope you'll really like.
I don't really have headlines, but I did have, as I was looking for headlines, I had a few things that caught my attention.
Mm.
For example, one of the big deals in the news right now is apparently they're like starting to go public with a lot of what Russia did during the election of 2016 to try to influence the election.
Mm-hmm.
And they called in like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapgram and
Pinterest,
Pinterbook, and, you know, they called all those guys into Congress and asked them questions, apparently, and it was kind of fascinating. I started going through a lot of the, they released a bunch of the ads that the Russians were doing to try to influence the election. And one of them was great. So it's a cartoon, and it's a cartoon. It's better than a courtroom sketch. Like, the art is better than, and Jesus is arm wrestling Satan. See, no, it's got to be good, right?
You've already set the stakes pretty high.
And Jesus looks kind of badass, kind of badass, but a little bit, I don't know, a little bit younger than I would expect Jesus. Anyway, it's from the Army of Jesus. Like, in the Army of Jesus's profile picture is Jesus wrapped in an American flag.
Of course. Yeah.
Right?
American Jesus.
And so Jesus is arm wrestling Satan. And it says, "Satan, if I win, Clinton wins. Jesus, not if I can help it." And then it says, "Press like to help Jesus win." And so the text says, "Today Americans are able to elect a president with godly moral principles." I'm like, really? Which one would that be?
And which God? I mean, yeah, if that's the case.
and then it says, "Hillary is a Satan, and her crimes and lies had proved just how evil she is. And even though Donald Trump isn't a saint by any means, he's at least an honest man, and he cares deeply for this country. My vote goes for him," says the Army of Jesus. So I guess Jesus voted for Trump?
Well, that explains so much.
He has godly moral principles, but he's not a saint by any means.
How does that even work?
So the Russians, you know, I got to hand it to them, because that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I expected when it said, okay, here are the, see, I thought the comedy for this segment would come from, so here are the ads that the Russians ran,
right?
Pretending to be Americans. And I thought they were going to be like, you know, Donald Trump can drink vodka, Hillary Clinton evil.
Yeah, or what's his name, the very nice Borat, you know, that kind of stuff.
It'd be like Borat. Yeah. "Donald Trump wants you to have chicken and pot. Hillary Clinton want legalized marijuana. Marijuana bad." See, I thought it was going to be hilarious.
Chicken good. Yeah.
Yeah, chicken good. In that way, but I think it's funny because it looks great to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it you know, was shared thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
So rednecks bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Redneck Trump supporters bought it, shared it, commented on it. It's interesting to me that the Russians wanted Trump to win, too. That they're using, you know, using that to help Trump win.
Yeah, the godless country that they are, or, you know.
Yeah. All right. So
that's what we were always told, you know.
Yeah, true, true.
Yeah.
The other thing that's been in the news is, you know, sexual harassment is getting a lot of play in the news now.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in the 90s when I first started my career, sexual harassment was getting a lot of play in the news. And, you know, there were a lot of trainings, a lot of very awkward trainings, corporate trainings for how not to sexually harass,
mm-hmm.
and what to do if you feel like you have been sexually harassed and all this stuff. And it was very confusing because I think the trainers were a bit confused and the training came across very confusing. But then we stopped hearing about it. At least I haven't heard a lot about it
mm-hmm.
in a long time. And then this Harvey Weinstein thing comes up, which, you know, I had to look up who he was.
Oh, right?
Wait, who the hell is Harvey Weinstein?
But
apparently he did the thing that we all assumed Hollywood producers were doing all along.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the whole casting couch.
Yes, the shiny black couch in the white room with the blinds drawn, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing that dude, like creepy dudes would be like, well, why else would you want to be a Hollywood producer, right? I thought that was half the, you know, I thought that was one of the perks.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, Howard Stern interviewed Weinstein at one time and asked him, like, does this go on? Does this kind of thing? And he's like, oh, Howard, I mean, well, you know, not that is not something that I would do. It's not a correct thing to do. It's just not right, and therefore I would not do that sort of thing, you know. And I'm listening because he was playing it recently
mm-hmm.
after all this came out, and I'm thinking, And Howard actually is going, and I knew he was lying at the time. He's like, I had heard the stories. If you listen to how he answers that question, mm-hmm. it's clear that he's lying.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because you know what somebody sounds like when they're not lying and you accuse them of something like that? go ahead. All right. Let's play this out.
Right.
I'll be me.
Okay.
And you be an interviewer.
Okay.
And you're going to ask me, you know, if that kind of thing goes on in my line of work.
Okay, so there's been a lot of rumors about the kind of practice that, you know, we're talking about here. Does that kind of thing really happen in your line of work?
Hell yeah, why'd you think I went into it?
See, there you go.
Wait. Oh, seriously? No. Dude.
yeah, exactly. You leave.
Are you kidding me? You kidding me? Dude, I wish it were like that. Man, that would be awesome. You know how much tail I could get if I could get away with that? If I could get away with that kind of thing, man, not only would I get a lot of tail, but it would be high quality tail. I mean... We're talking A-list actresses, dude. No, I probably wouldn't anyway. I mean, and you know why I wouldn't, because I'd be too scared. I'd be like, have you met my wife? First of all. Second of all, I fear rejection too much. You know, because I'd probably be like, hey, Demi Moore or... Nicole Kidman, hey, you want a part in Eyes Wide Shut alongside Tom Cruise? Well, how about you come over here and rub my leg a little bit? She'd be like, "What? Are you kidding me? I'm out of here." And then suddenly I'd be like, "Shit!" I hope she doesn't tell anybody. Anyway, what was the question? Sorry.
Yes, no, that is exactly how you would answer that question. If
that's how it sounds when somebody's telling the truth, you know? Not like, oh, you know, I hear your question. I understand as I sit here at this moment, I feel that, you know, I need to explain to you that kind of thing does maybe other people do it, you know, but my business, I don't. Never have, never would think to do that sort of thing. Can we get to the next question, please? Anyway, so I noticed, I was like, So once Harvey Weinstein, it's sort of like when Bill Cosby, you know, when that shit came to light. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, it's like 75 other women come along, you mm-hmm. know, and like, oh, that shit happened to me too. And just in my quick Google search,
mm-hmm.
I've got Jeremy Piven has been accused of sexual harassment. Brett Ratner. I didn't know who he was. Apparently, he's a well-known director, producer, or something.
Sure.
Dustin Hoffman. It's like, wasn't he...
I've heard he's kind of like that, though. That doesn't surprise me.
That's weird, though, because he played the male lead in a movie about statutory rape.
Yeah.
Or do we call it... I think it's called reverse statutory rape. Because it's rape when a man does it to a woman. It's reverse rape when a woman does it to a man. All right. Only very sophisticated thinkers will understand why that is a brilliant joke. Right? George H.W. Bush has been accused of sexual harassment. Or as his son calls it, sexual harassment. All right. And finally, everyone's favorite, Kevin Spacey. Kaiser Sose has now been accused of... But you know what? The thing he was accused of, you know, this it's terminology is getting a little bit discombobulated, because what he was accused of is, when he was 26, throwing a 14-year-old boy down on the bed and jumping on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm not sure harassment is the right word there.
Where's the line between, I mean, what is harassment? Harassment is probably like, you know, pinching a butt cheek or having some kind of uncalled for, unwarranted, you know, dialogue. But when you grab somebody and throw them on the bed, is that
that's assault?
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, that's what I would call
okay.
it.
And as a 26-year-old Kevin Spacey, if he had done that to a 24-year-old person, I would call that, you know, we all got drunk and our signals got crossed. Right.
Right.
I thought you were picking up what I was laying down, and I went for it, and I'm sorry. Let's move on. Right. But it's a 14-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's attempted something.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so.
And the quickest way to put that in perspective is, How old is your oldest?
She is 12. She'll be 13 in about 2 months.
Okay, so there you go. That puts that in complete perspective. Imagine,
right?
You know, but a lot of people don't want to think of it that way. But as soon as you put it in that kind of perspective, I mean, my oldest is 16. So all I think of is that's like a baby, you know?
Yeah.
My son will be 14 next month. That's a baby. Yeah. You know, for a full-grown man, because at the age of 26, there's nothing you can't do. You know, you're a full-blown adult at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we're in one of those phases where, you know, we look at the, and I'm doing air quotes, the media as somehow they have the ability to think through everything and like carefully consider what it is they're doing and saying and everything. And we're like, oh, you know, on further consideration,
right?
You know, and reviewing the replay, you really, maybe harassment's not the right word for that one. And I'm like, I think they're humans, and I think, the Harvey Weinstein thing has opened up a lot of, has made it feel safer for people to come out and say, like,
yeah,
well, here's something that happened to me, you know?
See, it irritates me when people get irritated that, like, okay, take the Cosby situation and the whole Weinstein situation. There are people who are like, oh, well, I noticed now they're doing it. What's the big, you know, oh, all of a sudden, now, all these years later, like in Cosby's case, yeah, you know, oh, it's got to be a scam because they're all doing it now. But these same people don't understand the concept of safety and numbers.
Yeah, right.
They've forgotten some of the most basic shit we learn as human beings because they like set the person that's being accused.
There's the safety in numbers is part of it, mm-hmm. And there's the victim in a lot of these things is often carrying around a lot of guilt.
Yes. Yep.
And so when somebody else comes out and says, "Here's a thing that happened, and I'm coming forward now in hopes that somebody else maybe can realize that it's not, I don't know, maybe they had some good therapy or something. And they're like, I finally realized it wasn't really my fault. And so maybe if it happened to somebody else, you know, maybe you can find out and learn. You don't have to carry the guilt around with you. And so that person hears that and goes, yeah, yeah. And then comes forward. Right.
And part of what makes the act so despicable is that guilt that they carry around for so long affects everything they do on some level. So yeah, because of your being an asshole, you've completely altered, if not ruined, this other person's life.
Yeah.
Because guilt messes you up and will affect everything you do, everything from relationships to friendships to whatever. And so you've screwed this person over. They're so twisted and turned around, they don't know what to think. And of course, you know, this wonderful land of ours, they constantly remind women that it's their fault that this thing happened because they were dressed a certain way, you know? So it's just so messed up.
I think we could do like a 2-hour special on this topic. And I think it would be great if we had like an expert on this stuff, mm-hmm. because I have so many questions. Yeah. that I don't have answers to.
We could call it the Don't Panic Radio Show After School Special.
Because here's what I was thinking as you were saying that. Mm-hmm. Part of what makes it such a heinous crime is that you're not just messing up like a kid. You're not just mm-hmm. traumatizing a kid. You are traumatizing a kid, and you just fucked up their whole life.
Yeah, that's
basically.
You did it a little more succinctly than I did, but yes, that's exactly what happens.
And not only did you just fuck up their life, but statistically, you probably just created somebody who's going to do the same thing to somebody else.
It's what Lewis Black calls a ripple of evil.
Before the emails start rolling in, and God, I hope emails start rolling in. That'd be great. I'm not saying it's 100% certain that person's going to do that same thing. And I'm not saying that even the majority. I don't know what the statistics are, but I'll bet you it's pretty high, you know, it's pretty high that person's going to do the same thing to somebody else that you just did to them, which means you just created a legacy of fucking people up, right?
Yep.
And so the thing that I would like to ask someone is, yes, and the person we're talking to that we're like yelling at for fucking up this person's life, somebody abused them, right?
Yes.
So I really want to yell at that person. And that person was molested by someone else.
Right.
Who I now want to yell at. And that person's probably dead. So I probably can't yell at that person. So my question is, like, what do we do? How do we, and it's cliche, but like, where do you break the cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm not making excuses for anybody and saying, well, not his fault because, you know, he was abused. I mean, because I know tons of people who were abused who didn't abuse somebody else. Right. So it can be done.
There's a difference between reasons and excuses. You know, saying, okay, the reason why this happens is because of this. That's one thing. But to say, well, I did it because of this, that goes from being a reason to an excuse.
And maybe we can start. Maybe here, okay, here's a starting point. After having a long Facebook discussion about the George H.W. business, maybe here's where we can start. You know, give the accuser, I'm not saying a benefit of the doubt, maybe allow for the possibility that the accuser is right, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think one of the things that's happening here right now is men are feeling like they're under attack.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like for flirting or mm-hmm. for whatever. And what I want to say to the men out there is what you're doing is not the thing that women are feeling assaulted by. Especially those of you who can relate to me.
but I think if you're sitting there going, well, if I, I can't even flirt anymore? I'm pretty sure you've pushed that envelope of flirting if you feel attacked. You know what I'm saying? I think maybe you might push that envelope a little bit if you're feeling attacked. I could be wrong.
You mean the methinks he doth protest too much?
Yes, as in the most, you know, the a guy who likes to flirt and maybe like well, I forgot to say this. Okay. If I feel like maybe I can't even flirt anymore because it's just so there's so much and I'm so anti, you know, these women are coming out and saying these things because, you know, all of a sudden I'm willing to bet that I have done something a little more than just flirted. And I'm, you know, somehow feeling subconsciously guilty for it or something. It's kind of like, it's an extreme, but take like homophobia, for instance. Most of you homophobes are afraid they're gay. Deep down inside. Yes. I think maybe the people that are aghast and pissed off that all this is happening are afraid that something they did at some point might actually not be as innocent as they think it was.
Well, you could be right about that. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Like if you're worried that if you're like worried that you crossed the line at some point, then there's a good chance you crossed a line.
Right.
Right?
Yep. Right. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
I had talked to my wife about it because I was like, I don't know. I'm kind of like my first reaction to the HW thing, and I'll just be honest, was, oh, come on. He's 93. He's in a wheelchair. I mean, and then, you know, I was like, I don't know. Is that the right way to feel about it? And then I thought, well, let me ask. Right?
Right.
And
right. I thought your question was well put. I mean, I know a lot of women who work at nursing homes and whatnot, and the men at the old men, some of the old men at nursing homes they can get pretty handsy. And but at that point in their life, they're so far gone that, you know, what is that really? But I don't think he's that. I don't think he's on that level.
Here's how my wife put it. Mm-hmm. She's like, look, her grandfather, who I knew pretty well, and he died at 97.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew him for 20 some years before he died. Mm-hmm. Right. She's like, can you imagine him ever doing that at any point in his life? I was like, no, not even remotely. It's like, all right, my dad's dad. Yeah, you know, she was talking about her dad's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever would I imagine him ever doing something like that. She's like, all the men in my life. She's like, when my dad is 93, could you see him doing that? I'm like, no. When your dad's 80, he'll be 90 in 10 years. Can you see him doing that? I'm like, no. It's like, do you know any man in your life, like, that would do that? I'm like, well, you know, there you go. So just making the excuse for the guy, like, oh, he's 93. It's like,
well, I yeah,
make it right.
No, that makes total sense. I guess. I mean, I sit corrected because I'm sitting. You can tell by the tone of my voice. I'm sitting. I'll rescind that. Yeah.
Well, no,
I'm
no
pretty
need
sure.
To
but I'm pretty sure if you, you know, at that age, I mean, you know, my grandpa pretty well lost all of his faculties at 94, and I don't ever recall any inappropriate behavior being talked about in the last year of his life. So why would, you know, that makes sense. I get
and my,
it.
My friend, one of my friends who has worked in nursing homes, mm-hmm. weighed in on the Facebook post, and she said, yeah, they get really grab-assy in the nursing home. And she said, whenever it would happen, I would stop and I would look at them and I would say, you know, that is not appropriate. I would appreciate it if you never did that again. And I think what's going on there. All right. Mm-hmm. So put aside mental illness. I'm sure there's mental illness and you know, Alzheimer's, whatever shit goes on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But for men who never did that throughout their life, I'll bet you it takes an awful lot of mental illness to cause them to do something that they weren't already at least thinking about, you know, for their whole life.
That's true.
And maybe it's like, oh, now I'm old, I'm going to go ahead and start grabbing some ass. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. This is why it could be a 2-hour show, because part of me wants to agree with you that the men who are having a strong reaction and saying, what, I can't flirt anymore, that maybe they are crossing lines. Part of me wants to agree with you on that. Another part of me wants to say that maybe that they're not the ones crossing the line, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe the ones crossing the line are the ones that don't even engage in the conversation.
Mm.
They'll just go, ah, you know, fuck her, you know, whatever.
Or, you know what?
Can't take a joke.
It doesn't have to be either or. It could be both of them.
I'm sure I've crossed the line.
This bores me. Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
All right. So, we're about to get meta.
Uh-oh.
Paul and I would like to grow this show. We want to grow the audience, and we believe, correct me if I'm wrong, don't want to put words in your mouth. I'd love to put other things in your mouth, but not words. We believe that if we grow the audience, we'll have a higher quality show,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have listeners who don't already know each other, like meeting each other and interacting, and you'll meet people with similar interests. And we just think it'll be better for everybody, not just for us, but for all of our friends and people we haven't even met yet.
Right.
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 To do that, we need help. And we need help in several different ways. One is we need you guys to get other people to listen. And I know every week we say, you know, share, like, comment, rate, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we need you to do those things and get people you know to actually listen. Like,
right.
Like, don't just share it on your Facebook. Tell people at work or tell friends and go, hey, do you listen to podcasts? Yeah, I do. Here's one you know, got to put it in your feed. Pick your favorite one and go, here's the one you got to listen to or whatever. Or just give them the name and just go,
right,
listen to this.
Right.
Got to, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow or whatever.
Right.
Got to get them to listen, and then Paul and I will do the rest.
That's right.
Once you get them to listen, if they hate it, that's not on you.
That's right. Nope. We'll take the blame gladly.
Yeah. And they come to work the next day and like, why'd you have me listen to that? That sucked. You could go, yeah, no accounting for taste. They're assholes. I wanted you to listen because they're assholes.
And that's
I wanted
right.
To be able to talk about what assholes they are.
At least they're talking about us.
Yeah, exactly. That's one area where we need help. Another area where we need help is we would like to have better recording equipment.
Mm-hmm.
For a few reasons. One is to make the show sound better.
Mm-hmm.
To make Paul's editing go faster. and the great thing about it, if you can edit faster and, you know, more seamlessly, we could do more shows if we
right.
wanted to.
Right.
Because right now the limiter isn't recording time. I mean, we only takes us a couple hours to record, but it
right.
takes you like for every hour of great content, there's probably 20 hours of work.
Minimally, right? it's about to do 1 hour show, it takes about 4 hours of editing.
And that's not like a Halloween show.
God, no. We won't go into that because I'm no good at math.
I don't do math.
I simply
well,
can't
I don't do
tell
words
because I'm no so. Good at math.
I can't pronounce words.
That's right.
So anyway, with better equipment comes faster editing, mm-hmm. you know, better software, better hardware, all that stuff, better recording equipment. And then to get more listeners, we'd like to do like try some advertising, try some some marketing, things like that. So all of that requires money, and we're trying to figure out a way to raise funds. So we were thinking of selling swag because, as you all know, Paul is a man of many talents. One of them is artistry, and the man can draw. And with technology, we can create all kinds of stuff from the art mm-hmm. that Paul can produce. I can come up with funny things to say. Paul can come up with funny ways to incorporate them into drawings. We could do t-shirts. We could do coasters. We could do stickers. We could do. So what we're asking for right now is, what are your ideas?
Right.
What's the kind of thing that you would buy? And I don't mean buy like as a charity case, like, oh yeah, I'll donate some money. I'll donate like $30 and in return, I'll get a $2 sweater. Right. No, I mean like what would bring value to you?
Right.
Like what would you love to have in return for some money? But not just you, because my fantasy would be like our friends and family, like core listeners wouldn't have to like buy all that much. They could buy as much as they want,
mm-hmm.
but we figure out a way to make something so valuable that people who have never heard of us go, I mean, we've all seen the ads on Facebook, right? Where you see a shirt, like they have ads for shirts and things,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and it has a saying or a graphic that is just like, oh, that is so cool. I'm going to buy that. And my thinking is we come up with shit like that is so cool that we could run some ads for it
mm-hmm.
and people would buy it and hear about our show as a result and start listening, right?
Right, right.
So I guess I'm asking the listeners, like, for their ideas over on the, you know, the Facebook page. Let's talk about it. I'm going to post the question over there as well, just to, you know, reinforce this plea.
Right.
And I think the people, and I guess I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. I think the people that listen aren't just listening because they're like, oh, it's my friend, I have to listen to this bullshit that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're listening because they kind of like it and they kind of get something out of it.
Right.
Even if, like, not every second of every show, but it's like something, because I've noticed that the people that I know listen on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
we have something in common with.
Yeah.
And we all have this shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, it has something to do, I don't know. I don't want to get into exactly what that is. I have a feeling we could have a whole show about that.
So now we have two shows to do next time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm starting to get an idea of what I think that thing is that we all share in common. It's like a, has something to do with a certain insecurity that we all share.
A shared insecurity.
A shared insecurity. But as we gain more life experience and get older, we're all starting to learn that, no, wait a minute. There are lots of other people like me, and they're also cool, mm-hmm. like me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think there's this thing we want to share with other people that's like, when you meet somebody else that's like you,
yeah,
it's like, oh, wow, somebody else read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and thinks it's funny,
mm-hmm.
and plays Dungeons and Dragons and thinks that's funny. And these guys are almost 50 years old, and wow, they're cool, unlike all the other 50-year-old people I've met.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my point is, we think that there's an audience for this show that's out there, and we need you to help us find that audience, and we need money to make the show sound better, make it go faster, the editing go faster, so we can do more content. And, you know, to get that money, we need swag. So what kind of swag should we be producing? What would you think people would pay money for? That's what I'm trying to say. All right. Well, we've gone over. my fault. Apologize for that. But thanks, guys, for tuning back in.
Right.
And hope you enjoyed the Halloween episode. Hope you enjoyed the tweeny episode.
The tweeny episode.
next week, we'll start on our Thanksgiving episode.
That's right. Might even have an episode of T&D coming up here pretty soon for them, too. So.
Dun, dun, dun. And maybe a Superfan James review of the Halloween episode.
I'm still living in fear.
All right. That's enough of that. That having been said, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson, and nothing you just heard was true.
True, true, true.
I had the ship till it all got smoked. I kept the promise till the vow got broke. I had to drink from the laughing cup. Stood on the banks till the river rose up. I saw the bride in her wedding gown. I was in the house when the house burned down. I may be old and I may be bent, but I have the money till it all got spent. Sense to be on my way. I had to stay in the underground. I was in the house when the house burned down. I was in the house when the house burned down. I met the man with the thorny crown. I helped him carry his cross through town. I was in the house when the house burned down.
Oh, bullshit.